Warning, the podcast you are about to listen to may have adult language and discuss adult themes not suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, hey there, Benchwarmers. It's just me for now. We're going to get the intro. Don't worry, I didn't forget. I'm not screwing up or anything, but we do have some updates on the content. Just a reminder before we get in with Nico, Jeremy, and Dom, the returning champion, reigning, defending, whatever he wants to say. We're going to call him NSYNC Vibes, and you'll see why when you see him on the screen here. Before everybody jumps in, we make our picks. We discuss bowl season for the fourth year in a row. Super glad to have all the guys back. Reminder that we will have an episode releasing on Thursday. That's why I got my Nuggets geared, not only just to rub it in Jeremy's face because, you know, of what happened at the end of the NBA season last year. It's also to promote that we are releasing the episode right after the Nuggets won the championship. We did this a couple weeks ago with the Avs and the Stanley Cup. Now we're going back a little bit more recently. You'll hear Nico's reaction, everybody getting in on it, and the NBA championship that was brought to Denver. That's going to be coming out Thursday, regular episode the following week. And then 2 weeks from now, you're also going to be getting another re-release. Just as a reminder, we're going to have our picks pre-recorded. I'm going to be out of the country. Dom and I are going to be on a cruise with the family over the holidays. So that's what we have coming up. Now let's go ahead and get into the fourth annual Bowl Pick'em episode here at the Far End of the Bench podcast.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.
Gentlemen, we gather once again on this hallowed eve, the fourth battle of internet narcissist college football fans. Tonight, we fight for a made-up title and bragging rights for 365 days. Introducing the first co-host of the Far End of the Bench podcast. You know him from our weekly show, Nico Ryan.
The resident terrible at college football bowl picker in this show's history, the worst, I believe, in 3 year history. Let's see if this year's turning around, but don't expect much from me over here on the far end of the bench. I'm not the college football guy, I'm the basketball guy, and everyone knows that. So, but here I am trying to dethrone the champion.
Weird thing to flex on this show, but we're going to go with it. Introducing next, we've known him forever. He's an original bench warmer. He's been on the show countless times. He's bringing his energy back. It is Jeremy Fearer.
How's it going? Sorry, I just choked on some water like the Nuggets are going to choke in the playoffs this year. So, I see you, Jimmy. Thanks for having me, guys. Excited to be back and looking forward to taking the crown this year as there's going to be a new dynasty heading into 2024.
All right, and finally, we bring back the guy. You're going to see why we're all giving him crap. It's the reigning, defending FEOTB bowl season pick'em champion, my brother, Dominic Pilato. NSYNC Vibes, what's up?
What's up, guys? Very happy to be back. Very happy to be defending my title. As you guys can see, I got the crown. I got the belt. I'm ready to go. Let's get it going.
We got a lot of great stuff coming up. I'm going to keeping track. We're now, as a teacher, I'm a little bit more organized, so I have a document ready. I have it pulled up on my screen. I'm going to be playing
We're
double duty as
all
host.
50 bowl games too.
That was a marathon. If you've been here for that long, if this is your third, fourth time watching this show, you know how far we've come. I have a better system now, and I'm hopefully going to be able to keep track and actually know who won, because I feel like we've just been kind of making it up. Dom, we're giving you those Mickey Mouse rings. We're treating you like the Lakers in the bubble. You get to show off. Yes, you are the champion, but who really knows? Because I'm bad at math. I'm terrible at keeping records. We're going to do our best this year. We have a lot of games to pick. We have a couple topics that we're going to be discussing, and I think it's going to be a great show. We've been doing this for a little bit of time. We know where everybody's loyalties kind of lie, and I feel like this is going to be fun. Thank you guys for coming back. Be sure to follow at FEOTB Pod, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and check us out on Thursday, our re-release episode of the Nuggets Championship. Next week, we'll be back with our normal content. You can catch us on the Variety Sports Network as well. Check us out at Variety_Sports_. Guys, let's go ahead. We're starting with the topic of how we got here. And it was one of the more entertaining and more meaningful championship weekends that we've had, following one of the crazier rivalry weekends where we saw the end of Bedlam. Teams get in where we didn't think they were going to. And we had the championship weekend. Things were going to be contested because we had Jordan Travis 2 weeks before that go down with his leg injury, broke his leg in half. Florida State continues their undefeated season, wins the ACC championship. Selection Sunday happens, and we have Alabama sitting at number 4, leaving a undefeated Power 5 conference champion out of the playoff for the first time in the making of this championship series. So, Jeremy, you're going to have some feelings on this too, because I know your Buckeyes were one of the teams that were involved. So we're going to kick this one over to you first. Nico and I have already kind of said our piece on it, but what was your thought process on Selection Sunday, and would you have made a different choice if you were in the position of the guys making the decision?
Yeah, no, appreciate it. I think the committee was obviously there was no right answer, right? Because if you put in Florida State, for example, everybody says, oh, well, you know, this game's going to be a blowout. And, you know, Michigan's got a free ride to the national championship. You know, I think that it always breaks down to the topic of deserving versus four best. And I personally think that in the past, the committee has done an interesting job, to say the least. You know, I don't think they've ever been in this position where there was basically five teams and they had to kick somebody out, because I personally think that Florida State should have been in. Just because they were undefeated, they scheduled two SEC games away from home, and I think that if they put in FSU, you know, they would have had the questions of, well, you know, they're going to get blown out, you know, they have a backup quarterback in, but again, it's a team game, right? Like OSU in 2014 won a national championship with their third string quarterback. You know, they put in Alabama, and there was caused a lot of issues with, you know, what did Florida State need to do in order to get in? They won every single one of the games that they played in. So I think the committee was hoping that FSU was going to get beat in the final 3 weeks to just make it pretty easy for themselves. But, I mean, you guys saw it when Michigan was in the team room and they saw that Alabama's name came on the screen there. It wasn't a cheering. It was a gasp. So
how did that get leaked out of the facility?
I don't know how that happened. But essentially, I think, you know, Michigan and Alabama is going to be a hell of a game. And I think we'll get into the in Washington, Texas. I think they have the four best, maybe not the four most deserving, but that's essentially maybe the four best with the quarterback situation.
My argument with you here, Jeremy, is if you say it's the four best, does Georgia and Ohio State, who have only lost to Michigan and Alabama, not think that they're one of the four best? That's the only argument, is like, yeah, maybe Alabama deserves it, but can we for sure sit here and say that Texas, or I mean, Washington probably has a better case, but do you think that Texas is for sure better than Georgia / Ohio State? And I don't think that will probably go into play if we're even talking about it, but because if it's four best, I think Ohio State and Georgia have a much better case than the Pac-12, or not the Big Ten 12 champions in Texas.
I would say it's pretty tough to make a good point. You know, my argument to that is, well, if you're OSU, why didn't you beat Michigan? Like, you knew it. I knew it. Everybody knew it that, like, throughout the year, it was like everybody knew it. Everybody knew that was the game they had to win in order to get in. So, essentially, I know we'll talk about the expansion of the playoff, but that was really a playoff game, in my opinion. I mean, it was a playoff game, in my opinion. Hey Georgia, you know, the one question I have for Georgia fans is moving this forward is, Georgia played a pretty weak schedule the entire year. I know the SEC was up and down. I know they had played a pretty tough schedule towards the end of the year, but you know, the beginning of the year was cakewalk city to get to where they were. And what did Texas do? They scheduled Alabama in Tuscaloosa and beat them. And that was the trump card that they had, the ace in the hole, no matter even if they lost to Oklahoma, that allowed them to get in. So I think that Texas benefited from a tough non-conference schedule. Obviously, they had a easier conference schedule. But my argument to that is, hey, Georgia, why didn't you beat Bama? Because at the end of the day, you beat Bama, we don't really have a conversation about who was getting in or not. It would have been Florida State, Georgia, and then Michigan and Washington, because Texas would have had that one loss. So Yeah, I mean, it. Look, there's a lot of different factors, and we'll get into the 12-team playoff. But I think for the most part, for the teams that needed to win games, why didn't you win the games? And the teams that won the games are benefiting. So I think that makes it pretty simple.
Dom, my question for you would be, as a guy that's been in a college locker room, if you were, say, let's put you back a year and you're in the room for CSU Pueblo, you're getting ready to go to the playoffs, and you won the games, you qualified, you've gotten the spot, but then the selection show goes on, and because your quarterback goes down with an injury, how does that make the rest of the team feel? And is this the fair decision of the College Football Playoff Committee to penalize a whole team for one player getting injured?
You know, I would tell you that I have a lot better experience with the situation that was happening in the Michigan ballroom than I do with the Florida State situation. However, I mean, penalizing an entire team that still went 13-0 despite losing their incredible quarterback, that to me just makes absolutely no sense. Don't get me wrong. You know, we got some teams up there, Michigan, Washington. I feel like there's no argument there. Texas, we've talked about it a little bit. I mean, they're up there for sure, but are they really top four? And then Alabama, there's always going to be that bias as long as they're up there in the one win.
Alabama invitation.
Exactly. So, you know, it makes no sense to me to not kind of give the nod to Florida State, whether or not you think that they can hold their own against, you know, they'd be in there, let's say number four, whether or not you think that they can hold their own against Michigan, you know, that it is what it is. But they've worked the entire season to be undefeated. And the fact that they get slighted like that just because they don't have a big name like Alabama, it made me upset, and I'm sure it made all college football fans out there upset, unless you were a huge fan of Alabama. But talking about the Michigan ballroom situation, when we were back a year and we ended up getting into the playoffs as the second team in our region and found out we had to play Colorado School of Mines the first week, that was the exact same reaction that our team had. And so, you know, I seeing that video kind of made me laugh because I've been in a situation like that before. But at the same time, you know, Michigan, you got put at number one. You can't put it out there like that. You can't let yourself be seen as the top team in the nation and then, you know, shiver or I guess shake in your boots when you see Alabama that you got to play the first round. So that's just not a good look.
Yeah. Big shout out. That's My Sports Podcast. Thanks for tuning in, giving us your two cents. I agree. I think that it was a situation. I said it and I called it the night before. I kind of did a victory lap on Twitter the day after the selections came out. The way that it ended, it was very obvious the way that the committee was going to look at things. They wanted any excuse, and the fact that, I mean, it was different. I know that Ohio State had Cardale Jones, but Cardale Jones still put up 40 points and was winning those games pretty handedly down the stretch of the season. We were not seeing that from the Seminoles. So the fact that they didn't look very good, they struggled to beat Florida, who is not a very good SEC team. I know that's one of their wins that they're hanging their hat on. And to beat a Louisville team that had fallen off towards the end of the season, if they play that game 3 weeks earlier where it's Jordan Travis and the Louisville team that's also undefeated, then you have a resume builder. But the ACC was just not very strong. Like, Clemson was supposed to be your other power in that conference, and after they lost to Florida State, they just totally fell off. So the fact that Texas had better wins, Alabama got the win over Georgia and snapped their winning streak, their SEC team. The SEC bias is real, but we've known that ever since the College Football Playoff Committee has been introduced. They're always going to favor SEC over anything else. That's why Christian McCaffrey didn't win the Heisman Trophy. That's why Washington is number two to Michigan, because I feel like Washington probably has a pretty deeper resume. I feel like the Pac-12 was a stronger conference. They played a tougher season schedule, and they beat Oregon twice. Beating the best team on your schedule twice is – we can't understate how difficult that is. And that's going to – when we bring up our next topic of discussion, when we're taking a little bit of a break from picking games, we'll get into that discussion about Michael Penix and, you know, his Heisman counterpart there, Jaden Daniels. Let's get into some games. We're going to start things off first day of bowl season, the very first bowl. Gronk is hosting this one. I don't know if you guys knew that. I don't know how a bowl host does, but he's going to be singing the national anthem, and he's going to be getting the party started, I guess, is how he's – I have it up UCLA versus Boise State. Boise State wins the West in a season where I didn't expect much of them at all. I mean, you're going to be bowl contention, but I don't think that I was expecting them to win the conference. UCLA was a little bit softer. They had a tough conference. They're still favored by 2.5 and the over-under set 49.5. Nico, let's get the pick started. I already have mine on there, so you guys know I'm taking the Broncos. Where do you lie on this one?
I'm going to go to UCLA because I think the Pac-12 is a much better conference. News of note, I don't know how to say this guy's first name, but Latu, the defensive lineman, who will be a top – already be top 15, easily a first-round pick in next year's draft, is skipping the game. So it's going to be a big, massive blow to their defense. But the Pac-12, I think, will be a dominant force when it comes to bowl season. I think they're one of the tested teams. Obviously, playing USC, beating USC, beating some good teams down the road. I think UCLA is a much more tested team. Boise State, good program. I don't think that they're I don't think they're up to the standards of UCLA and what the Pac-12 was this year. So I'm going to take UCLA.
All right, we're split so far. Jeremy, where are you going on this one?
Boy, I've kind of gone back and forth on this game a bunch today. And looking at it and obviously seeing what you guys have picked, I personally think that, you know, there's a lot of questions regarding UCLA and Chip Kelly. I know was on the hot seat for a little bit. Dante Moore, their star quarterback, is in the transfer portal. They've had issues at quarterback at times.
What star quarterback that's not playing in the college football playoff isn't in the transfer portal? Probably Shedeur Sanders may be the only one.
Yeah.
If you look across the board, every non-team
Riley Leonard just committed to Notre Dame earlier today. Breaking news if you hadn't seen that go across your timeline yet.
Yeah. So, you know, ultimately I think that, you know, Boise State kind of coming in with that, you know, UCLA's playing at home basically in the LA Bowl down the street. Not down the street, but down the highway, I should say the I-5, but I think Boise State's going to win this game. I think, you know, number one in the Mountain West Conference, they, you know, obviously had five losses, but I think they pull the upset. 2.5 is basically just a neutral site game. So that's what Vegas is telling us.
All right, champions advantage. So you get to see what everybody else picks. You could be a little strategic about this, Dom. Where are you leaning for our first game? Mountain West champions against a middling Pac-12 program, UCLA versus Boise State.
You know, I kind of have the same opinion as Jeremy on this one. I kind of went back and forth. You know, you look at record, they're very similar. Boise State has one more win than UCLA. UCLA, looking at some of their games on the schedule, they blew out NC Central like they should. They've blown out San Diego State, which in my opinion, that's exactly what they should do. And then they have losses on here against Oregon State, which doesn't surprise me. UCLA was a pretty Colorado was a pretty close game with UCLA. And then there's a few on here that kind of make me question it. So Utah, they lost by a touchdown. They took care of Stanford. Arizona, they lost by three possessions. And UCLA, they actually got killed by Cal. And Cal's a good football team, don't get me wrong, but in my opinion, it should have been a lot closer than 33-7. So for this one, I'm going to go with the Mountain West representatives, Boise State, and I'm going to put my hat on the Mountain West taking this one.
Nico, if it works out in your favor, you get a game up on all of us after our first one. That's taking place on December 16th, so it's coming up at the end of this week as we're live here on the Far End of the Bench YouTube channel. Next game, the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. Another Mountain West team in this one, taking on a team in their very first Division I FBS bowl game ever. They got there because there weren't enough teams that qualified that technically were eligible. If you don't know the story, James Madison moves up from FCS, and when you do that, you have the two-year penalty, where you're not eligible for bowl season or postseason. So they haven't been able to win their conference, even though they technically would have been in their conference championship game both years that they've been in the FBS. Now they're finally in a bowl game, and they're taking on Air Force in the Armed Forces Bowl. So unfortunately, probably the rest of the country outside of Virginia is going to be rooting against them because it's hard to root against the Service Academy in the Armed Forces Bowl. I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to be the heel, and I'm taking the Dukes. I think that it's going to be a big situation for them. They're probably going to have some energy built up initially, but I see them probably – taking this one and using their speed. Air Force doesn't have their starting quarterback. And without that guy, They were a different team. They were undefeated with him in the top 25 since he went out with injury, fell down, lost four games, didn't win the Commander-in-Chief trophy, lost to service academies that they shouldn't have. And I see James Madison, their three-point favorite, I see them winning by a touchdown because they're just going to have too much speed and they're just going to run circles around a slower Air Force team, in my opinion. Jeremy, what do you think?
This is an interesting game because as much as people know I love Ohio State, Indiana just got the head coach of James Madison, Coach Kurt Cignetti. So he's not coaching the bowl game for the what's their mascot, Jimmy?
The Dukes. JMU?
The Dukes, that's right, the Dukes. So, I mean, ultimately, I think that the JMU hasn't seen the service academy. I mean, the quarterback, hey, all you need is do a hand off the ball. You know what I mean? It's not – we're not talking – you know, I think there's like the one of the four worst passing teams in the country, and I think three of them are service academies. The other one is Iowa. So, you know, basically without a head coach at JMU, a lot of the guys have actually committed over to IU, which is actually pretty exciting for me considering how bad IU has been in the past. So it's like an Air Force. I would like to put it a line at maybe like 10 yards of throwing for Air Force. They might run the ball 100 times.
Are you taking the under in this bowl game, or do you think that they get to him and the body blows start to wear on JMU in the end and they do hit the over?
I think they might hit the over just because of the fact that they're going to run the ball and they're going to get 3 yards, 3 yards, 3 yards. They'll just keep running and running and running, and they're pretty comfortable playing that game.
Yeah. The body, the body, the body, the body. Dom, I'm going to you next. JMU or Air Force?
I don't think my pick's going to surprise anybody necessarily. Looking at some of these games that JMU has found themselves in, when they're supposed to take care of their opponent, they do. They win by multiple possessions. But they've also shown that they can hang in there with some of these closer games like Old Dominion. They held in there until the final minute, won 30-27. We're looking at App State. They held in there and then just barely missed in overtime. And App State was on a little bit better of a year this year, if I remember correctly. Troy, they won by 2 points. They held on until the end. And so I'm thinking because of the way that the service academies play and because they like to take as much time off the clock as possible, really what it's going to come down to is who can outlast the other one. And although, you know, the service academies are known for kind of being those hard nose, just keep your nose down to the grindstone, and when the smoke clears, you know, you'll come out the winner. I think JMU is battle tested, and I think that they play a very sound defense. And that shows that with the fact that they've been able to hold on in these close games. So I'm going to go with JMU on this one.
All right, Nico, where do you lie? The Dukes.
I'm all over Air Force here. I think when you have a coach leaving program, you have players leaving program. I think that adds a big factor into bowl games because, like it or not, this is not a big time bowl game for JMU. It's a big bowl game in terms of getting their first Division I bowl win underneath them. But I think there's a lot of outside factors that factor into winning games that are at the very end of your schedule against a team that you have no idea what the scout is going to be, really. It's because they run the same exact plays, they run the same exact formation, and there's about 500 plays out of that one formation they'll run. And it's very, very hard to scout. And when you have a new coaching staff, new coaches at the reign, I think it's very, very difficult. And a team like Air Force, if you're Air Force, all you need to do is make sure JMU has as little possessions as possible to keep, and that's what they're going to do. And if you keep the offense from JMU from getting as many touches as they have had, especially against when they beat Coastal Carolina handedly, I think they win this game easily. Yes, they've lost four in a row, but I think Jeremy hit the nail on the head. If a team loses their quarterback, it's all hell's going to break loose. But if you're a team that still runs the wing T offense, I don't think it fucking matters. So give me Air Force.
It's an interesting point, but this is why it's interesting to pick bowl games, because we don't know who is and who isn't going to play for major guys, but we have very little idea who's entering. People are going all over the place. Coaches are moving all over the place.
Air Force, there ain't many portal boys, is all I'm going to say.
I'm relying on the fact that it's the first one. They're going to be all gung-ho about it. They're going to take care of business. They're going to handle business in their first bowl game. Dom, I'm starting with you on the next one. SRS Distribution Las Vegas Bowl. Utah versus Northwestern. Utah is favored by 6.5. So where are we going with this one?
You know, I think Utah definitely earned the favor in this game. You know, over the season, they've faced a lot of different kind of diverse opponents. They've seen anybody from UCLA to Oregon State to Cal to Washington, kind of all over a little bit. And the big game that stands out to me is the Utah-Washington game. And the reason why is because, as we all know, Washington got picked as the second team overall in the nation. And basically that to me shows that because they only lost by one possession, that they are going, they are able to hang in with these bigger powerhouse teams. So I'm going to go with Utah on this one.
That's why Sports agrees with you. So far, Dom is kicking things off, taking the Pac-12. Utah, they're also getting Cam Rising back for his 10th season of college eligibility. I don't know how many degrees you're able to get from the University of Utah. He's going to collect them all. It's like a Pokemon catcher at this point. Nico, Utah or Northwestern? Northwestern surprised me being in a bowl game because they were god-awful last year. They won 7 games in the Big Ten.
It's absolutely Utah. Utah is a much more tested team, much better, well-sounded football team than Northwestern. Northwestern has had coaching carousel the last 12 months with Pat Fitzgerald obviously coming down and obviously all the allegations off the field with the hazing and everything. So Northwestern is not a real program, in my opinion. They're not. People don't go to Northwestern for football. They go to Northwestern for school. Hey, dude, they become doctors. Utah is a damn good program, and consistently, year after year, since they joined the Pac-12, which they'll be leaving eventually, since they joined the Pac-12, they have been a team that has been top of the standings, if not one or two. Like, they've been a damn good football team every single year, and that's a kudos to what Utah Cam Rising specifically this year has done with that program. So give me Utah and the spread easily, very, very easily.
Jeremy, are we going clean sweep for the Utes?
You know, I think Nico to say, let me back up here, Nico to say that Northwestern isn't a good football program is just blasphemy. I mean, I don't know how much Big Ten football you watch.
He's but a Big Ten West guy, Nico. You
yeah, I mean, Nico, now. Come on now. I mean, like, who are we talking about? Northwestern, it was a tough, it's been always been a good program with Pat Fitzgerald. So you may need to do some brushing up on some Northwestern football after this episode, buddy, and maybe stake off the Nuggets games. But I'm taking Utah again. I think we'll do the clean sweep on Utah here. They're tough, man. They're just a program you don't want to play ever. I mean, as an OSU fan, playing Utah in the Rose Bowl that one year was absolutely insane. But I think Utah can build a lot of momentum going into next year with a win against Northwestern. And obviously, as Jimmy pointed out, that Cam Rising is going to be back for his
two times in college for 7 years.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, they're like, called doctors.
Yeah, exactly. So I think they can build a lot of momentum. I mean, Kyle Whittingham always has a good program at Utah. So I'm going to complete the sweep with the Utes.
Everybody's got the Utes. We got two more. We're going to go quickly through this next one because then we'll be able to spend some more time on the OSU game as they're taking on Missouri. But the next one that we have on our schedule, the Guaranteed Rate Bowl, Kansas favored by 12.5 points over UNLV. The Running Rebels had a hell of a season this year. Not many people watch Mountain West football. I was able to catch a few of their games. I put this one on here because it surprised me. I think that this is a line where people are trying – like Vegas is trying to entice you one way or the other. I don't think Kansas is 12.5 points better than UNLV. UNLV is a program that will be able to keep this one close where I don't necessarily know if they're going to win. That over-under, you're going to hammer the over on this one. They're going to score so many points. Kansas plays in the Big 12. They don't play defense. And the Mountain West is not going to be able to handle a Big 12 offense. So they're just going to score points galore. I think it's going to be a shootout. And for that reason, I am picking the Rebels. I am going UNLV. I hopefully swerved some of you. Nico, what do you got?
The books out there probably thought that this was a college basketball game. They didn't realize Kansas is playing in December. They didn't realize that they're in a meaningful bowl game, a decent bowl game for them. Except what those bettors don't know is that Jalen Daniels, I'll be on a little bit of hot take here, he's going to be a top 5 Heisman guy next year, in my opinion. You look at the names leaving. It's going to be him and Quinn Ewers. You have Jane Daniels leaving. You have Caleb Williams leaving. Penix, Bo Nix, all gone. Kansas is going to be a team that, in the Big 12, that's losing Texas and Oklahoma. They're a team that could possibly sneak up on some teams and could be in a Big 12 championship game. That's not a college. That's not college basketball. They could. Jalen Daniels is that good. I'm going to Kansas here. I like their program. I don't like 13.5. I don't like any part about that. But I do like Kansas winning this game because I'm that high on this program, especially Jalen Daniels.
The Flatlands are making a comeback. I did not expect that one. Jeremy, what do you think about this one?
I think it's pretty interesting. Great story with UNLV. Barry Odom, former Missouri head coach. Great story. Actually ended up helping out Arkansas last year. I think they achieved maybe 9-10 wins last year under Sam Pittman, but Barry Odom was the DC there. UNLV, man, you know, you just these Mountain West games, right? It's one game. They played the game 10 times, right? You know what I mean? It's like one of those that the cliche. I like obviously Kansas to win, but that 12.5 for UNLV, I mean, who knows, right? It's just a matter of, you know, what team shows up. I mean, they are playing in Arizona, so they're pretty much in their backyard in Phoenix. So I'm going to pick Kansas to win, but I'm going to pick UNLV to cover the 12.5. So.
All right, Dom, are you leaving me on an island here? You get the last pick for this game.
Yeah, I'm leaving you out on the island, Jimmy. I'm sitting here looking at some of the team stats and some of the player stats for the Jayhawks. Very interesting to be talking about this team in December, playing some football. I'm looking at some of these stats here. They are a very efficient offensive team. Devin Neal, their running back, has over 1,200 yards on the year. That tells me that their offensive line not only works their butt off, but they also work very well as a unit, and they're able to have their running back kind of show that off. So I really do like Kansas on this one. The fact that they're averaging 7 yards a carry on just 183 – I'm sorry, Devin Neal, he's averaging 7 yards a carry on 183 carries. That is insane to me. So I really do like Kansas in this one. I'm definitely thinking that you should hammer the over only because it's a bowl game. Nobody brings their defense. But I think UNLV, they'll kind of be up for the challenge, and I think we'll be in for a good game.
All right. We saved it for this long. Jeremy, you get to go off. Number 7 Ohio State against number 9 Missouri as a 2.5-point dog in the Cotton Bowl Classic. 48.5 is the over under. Your Buckeyes got left out of the college football playoff, and it doesn't seem like they're getting much love. Am I correct in Kyle McCord going into the transfer portal? Is that a correct rumor, or is that just a rumor?
Well, that is correct. He is going to the transfer portal, and I think he's actually talking about the Flatlands are back. I think he might be heading to Nebraska. So there's a lot of talk about him going to Nebraska, along with number 1 overall recruit that was committed to OSU, Georgia, and there's talks that his uncle's on the staff at Nebraska, Dylan Rinola, potentially going to Nebraska. So could be interesting for Matt Rhule in there in Lincoln next year. I'm actually going to this game. I will be at Missouri versus Ohio State. My brother's announcing his final college football game. Shout out Joey. So we'll see what team OSU brings. There's a lot of question marks on this game for OSU. Obviously, never going to not pick against Ohio State, so I'm going to pick OSU. But, you know, I think Missouri brings a lot of issues for us. Personally, I think their running back, I forget his name. Is it Schrader or something like that?
I'll look it up real quick.
Yeah, and I mean, Michigan ran the ball pretty well against us. Obviously, Missouri's a well-battled team. They played a tough schedule this year. They played Kansas State, which was a great win, on a 61-yard field goal. They took Georgia down to the wire in Athens. For OSU, we're going to see what team they bring. I know some guys are fired up. I think OSU had a very basically the team's kind of split, you know, down the middle. I think Kyle McCord brought a lot of issues to OSU, and that they were brought into the limelight this year. So started with the Michigan game, and I think McCord, you know, wish him the best. But I think for now for OSU, it's it's time to turn the page and see what team, you know, going into next year, what we can bring. And obviously OSU and Ryan Day have a lot of work to do in the offseason, but hoping for a good game and hoping for an OSU win.
Cody Schrader is the running back from Missouri. He did in the last two seasons. I think he was most outstanding freshman, and then I believe he won Offensive Player of the Year for the SEC or was in the running for that. So he's had two great seasons in a row. I'm on Missouri. We also he's continuing. I appreciate it. Keep commenting in. Be it if more people out there have opinions, then that's fine. I know, Jeremy, that makes you upset. Yeah, I knew you weren't going to pick against the Buckeyes. I knew that wasn't a thing that you were going to do. It's like Nico when we have a Raider game on the NFL pick 'em on our regular show. It's just not going to happen. I can already pencil that one in. I'm going with the Tigers. Dumb SEC versus Big Ten. We're going to finally settle the debate. We're taking it out back. We're going in the backyard. We're going to fight, and we're going to see who comes out on top. Tigers or the Buckeyes?
I got the Tigers in this one, no doubt. Not only, you know, looking at Cody Schrader, who obviously has had an amazing season, almost 1,500 yards total, but also looking a little bit at their defense, you see multiple guys up here who have 40 or more tackles all over the place. D-line, linebackers, some DBs, all over. So that what that tells me is that this defense is insane. Everybody's flying to the ball. You got 11 hats on the ball every single time. And I think that that's going to be the difference in this game. Not only will they dominate on offense, but their defense is also going to be strong enough to hold them in the game in case they are in a shootout.
All right, Nico, you can send us into a tie, or you can put Jeremy on the island with the Buckeyes.
Well, the big question, everyone knows that I am very, very low on the SEC. I think they're the third best conference at best this year. I thought they're worse than the Big Ten. I think they're easily worse than the Pac-12 this year. I will stand on that. I think they're right there with the Big 12 as the third best conference. And this is the third best team out of this conference easily, right? LSU had the best player, but Alabama and Georgia were a much better football team than this. Ohio State is the second best team in this best conference in America, in my opinion. Still, I still believe in Big Ten. The big question that I have for Jeremy is Maserati Marv staying? Because all the reports are coming out that Maserati Marv is getting endorsement deals that would double his rookie salary he would get in the NFL. Because if he's playing and if he's staying, I think it'd be very, very difficult to pick against the most electrifying player in college football, Marvin Harrison Jr. and the Ohio State Buckeyes.
If I had to bet, if I had to throw money down, well, let me back up, Nico. Marvin Harrison Jr. doesn't need the money. His dad was a Hall of Famer. I don't know if you've ever heard of Marvin.
Doesn't hurt being able to buy his own car, buy an own home.
Exactly. I don't think he needs any introduction onto who he is, a Heisman finalist. If I were to place a bet today, I'm thinking with my head, not my heart. I think he's going to go to the NFL just because I think the money's just too much for him. My heart hopes he plays, you know, this game and next year and graduates and moves on. But I don't know. I mean, nobody really knows what his decision process is. If he plays and then decides to go to the league, fine. If he plays, there's not a corner on Missouri that can guard Marvin Harrison. There's not a guy in the country that can guard Marvin Harrison Jr.
I mean,
if he was on the Broncos tomorrow or the Bengals tomorrow,
yeah,
you guys would be throwing a freaking, you know, party. Yeah, you know what I mean? So
Wilson can't get him the ball.
He'd arguably be the number one pick going into next year's draft, depending on what the Bears would do with the number one pick. And look, I'm going to go Ohio State because I still believe that the Big Ten is a much better conference. And Missouri, outside of when they played good competition, they were a decent team, but they weren't able to beat good competition. And Ohio State beat Penn State, beat Notre Dame, beat these good programs. And yes, they lost to one team, but it's the number one team in the country. Kyle McCord, Ohio State all around is much better depth team, and they're going to beat Missouri.
Watch out for Devin Brown. A name to keep a hold of, and another name, Travion Henderson. Watch out for him as well.
Henderson's been there, and this year he finally turned into like that home run threat back. And I want to point out, if you're a new listener, if this is the first time you're listening to the Bowl Pick'em Show, Jeremy called Bailey Zappe 2 years ago when he was playing for Western Kentucky in the bowl game. said that he's thrown for all these yards. They were going to be able to throw for all those yards again. I said, nope, nope. I'm telling you, Wyoming's going to be able to handle it. Wyoming couldn't handle shit that day. So if he says keep a name, I feel like that's probably a pretty safe bet. Gentlemen, we're at the halfway point. I figured for halftime, we can take a break from the games. The Heisman Trophy was awarded recently to Jaden Daniels of LSU, second Tiger within the last 5 years to win the award after Joe Burrow. Burrow kind of narrated. He gave him a call the night before, and they turned it into like a narration video for him winning the award. Definitely worthy of it in the stats. I'm going to put the ticker up here. Only a few other quarterbacks, and I put a couple of the most notable, have won the Heisman Trophy with the amount of losses. Normally it goes to the team that's either undefeated, one loss, in contention for the national championship. LSU didn't play in the SEC championship game. They're playing in a meaningless bowl that we're not even picking in our pick 'em. Yet Jaden Daniels apparently had the numbers, had the status, had the SEC backing, and wins the Heisman Trophy over a guy, say, Michael Penix, who, yes, they were winning close games, but, hey, he won all their close games. Jaden Daniels can't say that. I don't know if Jaden Daniels was up to the level of Tim Tebow in 2000. I have that incorrect. It was 2007 that he won his Heisman Trophy, or Lamar Jackson in 2016. But there's an argument to be made. So let's go ahead, make our case. Where do we stand? And I guess whoever thinks that he should have won the award can go first, and then we'll kind of pick the conversation up from there. Should Jaden Daniels be the Heisman Trophy winner this year? Don't all speak at once now.
You said speak first if you thought he.
Okay.
I'll give the case on why he should have been. I'll give the case. Do I think he should have won? No, but I'll give the case why he won. He did put up RB1 numbers and QB1 numbers on one team. He did throw to a receiver, Malik Nabers, who had more production than Marvin Harrison Jr. Did he win the games that he was not supposed to? What he was supposed to win that potentially could have, you know, made the Heisman the unanimous? No. But he still, without him, he would have been, they wouldn't have been in a bowl game. Without him, they wouldn't have been in half the games that they were in, specifically the Alabama game, you know, first half of Florida State, you know, those type of games. The Florida game, he looked like unconscious. You know, he's had not only an LSU jersey, also in an Arizona State jersey. He also threw all over Oregon and ended Oregon's chances of going to the college football playoff with a guy named Justin Herbert. I don't know if you've heard of him before. And who did he throw the ball to on that day? Oh, Brandon Ayuk, another name that you guys may not have heard of. So this guy's been in college football for quite a long time. He's a stud. He's put up a huge amount of numbers. I know I'm conflicting myself because I don't think he should have won it, but I see why he did win it, because he did put up a ton of numbers. And he did. Without him, they wouldn't have been in the bowl game, and or in half the games that he was in.
So. It's the Indiana guy thinking that the Indiana guy should have won the Heisman Trophy. That's all Jeremy's doing right now, because he believes, like myself, that Michael Penix should have won it. He's the best player on one of the best teams, and this is the second straight year that the Heisman Trophy has come from a team that has not been in the playoff. I think that's. I think, no offense, the Heisman Trophy committee and everyone, I think we're getting soft. I think we really are getting soft, because if I'm looking at the best players in the country, the best players come from the best teams. LSU arguably is not the third. It's probably not the fourth best team in the SEC. And Jaden Daniels did a lot to that bad program, right? Brian Kelly did nothing, really. It was Jaden Daniels holding that program up to where they are. And, look, I think Jaden Daniels is a hell of a talent. I think he's going to be a great, possibly a really good steal for a team in the back half of the draft next year. But like I said, I think the Heisman Trophy, in my opinion, has lost a little bit of lust in terms of getting the best players in the world. Because like I said, how many people watch the Heisman Trophy ceremony that are going to watch LSU's bowl game, right? You should be able to watch the Heisman Trophy winner in a meaningful bowl game, in my opinion. He didn't do that with Caleb Williams. The last person that's been able to do that was Devontae Smith when he went off for Bama a long time, or 3-4 years ago, whenever it was. So it's, like I said, I think it's lost its luster. When we were little, obviously Tebow, Manziel, all those names, they're meaningful football games that they were playing. Yeah, it wasn't the Final Four. Yeah, it wasn't great programs and everything, but they were meaningful players that you remember. Jaden Daniels, damn good player, but I feel as though just because LSU isn't that good, he may just be a footnote, being like, oh, that's that one year that he won the Heisman Trophy. That's weird year between Caleb Williams, who will be good in the NFL, and possibly Quinn Ewers next year, who could be good in the NFL too. And like, oh, that's the random one that's in there. And that's unfortunate because Jaden Daniels is a hell of a talent. Hell of a player. But like I said, I think we're losing meaning to postseason play and teams being good, plain and simple.
Dom, I'm going to give you two stat lines. I'm not going to tell you whose is whose, but we'll see who you think should have come out with the Heisman Trophy. First one is 23 of 327. That's a 72.2% completion percentage. I know you could probably do that in your head because you're the math teacher. 3,812 passing yards, 40 passing touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Also added 1,134 yards on the ground and 10 touchdowns. If you're familiar with what the stats are, if you've watched the games, then you know who I'm talking about. But well, let's just play along here. Other stat line, 307 of 466 for 65.9% completion percentage, 4,218 passing yards, 33 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. First stat line, team went 9-3, didn't play in the conference championship. Second stat line, team went 12-0, beat the best team on their schedule 2 times, and arguably won one of the most deepest conferences in all of college football. Who do you think wins the Heisman Trophy in that scenario?
Well, from context clues, I'm going to guess that the first person is the one who actually won the Heisman Trophy. You know, but in my opinion, the Heisman Trophy doesn't necessarily have to go to the best team. I know that was what Nico's argument was kind of pointing at. But it should be going to one of the most impactful players in college football. It's one trophy. You're not going to be able to give it to multiple people. So you're gonna step on some toes no matter who you give it to. Now, Jaden Daniels, we all agree, he's a hell of a player. He is the one who propped up LSU this entire year. And so is he deserving of it? Yes, there's always going to be an argument as why he's deserving of it. Is he the one who's the most deserving of it? That's the question that we're all trying to figure out. And based off of those two stat lines, I would tell you that he probably shouldn't have gotten it. Okay, but who's the second stat line? Just for
Michael Penix from Washington.
Okay, Michael Penix. So if you wanted to make the argument that the Heisman Trophy should always go to somebody who's playing on a team that's in the college football playoff, then obviously you should have given it to Michael Penix. Okay, but the Heisman Trophy is not connected, it's not slated in the college football playoffs. So the fact that Jaden Daniels won, that just shows that how meaningful he was to his team. That doesn't mean anything, the fact that he wasn't, him and his team, they're not in the college football playoff. So I'm not upset that Jaden Daniels won, and I'm not saying that any of us are necessarily, but at the same time, I can see where everybody is going with, well, his stat line just wasn't as good as the next guy.
And so to play devil's advocate, if we're going to do the most meaningful and the most meaningful player to the best, to one of the best teams, why wouldn't Jordan Travis win then? Because his injury is the reason why Florida State is not playing college football playoff, plain and simple. So if he's the most meaningful player in the country, if Jaden Daniels is the most meaningful player, then where is Jordan Travis in this? Because like I said, Florida State, playoff team with them playing, not a playoff team without them playing. Just play devil's advocate. I don't agree with it that's the most meaningful, but I don't disagree that Jaden Daniels didn't put up numbers.
I was just going to tell you it's the same reason why they didn't make the playoff. It's because they're going to argue that, you know, he since he was that impactful and then he stopped, or then he couldn't play anymore, then why would we give him the award if he didn't finish out the season? I don't know if that's necessarily the way that the committee or the voters or anybody like that is looking at it. But at the same time, you know, Jaden Daniels is one of those guys that you could obviously you could make the argument for. He ended up winning it. Good for him. That's great for him. And he propped up his team this entire year. Cause we all know that LSU's on a down year. And he led them to some pretty impactful wins, especially the Alabama game.
I'm going to put a bow on the conversation just so that we can get back into the picks and not keep everybody for the 3 hours that we did a couple years ago. It's the same to me as the conversation surrounding Connor McDavid in the NHL. He's won 3 MVP trophies. He's very clearly the most talented player. You can win all the MVP trophies. Nico, what did we say about Embiid last year? You won the MVP. Congratulations. It wasn't on a team that was going to be competing for a title. Connor McDavid's on a team that gets close but never really competes for a title. So you can win the MVP and not necessarily it doesn't necessarily mean you're the best on the best team. It could go either way, and there's really good arguments to be made. I said stats is the reason Jordan Travis wasn't there, and then I looked, and he had 20 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. So there's an argument to be made for a handful of people. Let's go ahead now, transitioning out of that. Speaking of Jordan Travis, his team, number 5, the Florida State Seminoles, going to Georgia as 2 touchdown underdogs. Georgia coming off that loss in the SEC championship to Alabama. Over-under is at 44.5. I think they're expecting Georgia to play shutdown defense on this backup quarterback. Get in, get out. They don't have to make a statement, even though they might try to. Jeremy, what are we thinking with this game?
I think this is the toughest game to pick in the bowl, games, including the playoffs. I think this game is very tough because what's Florida State going to do, right? Is Florida State going to just be like, oh, we don't have our backup quarterback. You know, some guys are going to opt out. You know, you got Wilson and Coleman. You know, they're like, oh, we're going to the league. That's my sports. UGA will still steamroll them. I don't know. What Florida State team are we going to get? Do I think Florida State has a better defense than Alabama? I think they do. Do I think they have a better D-line? I think they do. Versus legit. I think Florida State was very undervalued just because they can't move the ball on a you know, against Florida or Louisville. Or did Florida State make Louisville and Georgia or Louisville and Florida look horrible? You know what I mean? So I think that defense is elite. So I think that's gonna be in a very interesting aspect. Do they think they move the ball? I don't know. But then again, you know, is Florida State gonna come out against UGA and say, okay, all right, hey, they gave us Georgia. Why don't we just, you know, play up to their level, fire it up. It's a home game, a lot of Florida State fans in Miami. I know that sucks for Miami fans, including my dad. I shouldn't be saying that. But you know, we'll see. I mean, it's a huge recruiting war going on there between Georgia and Florida State, because that's going to be a lot of recruits down there. I think it'll be a really good game. 14 points is basically saying that, you know, UGA is going to be, you know, maybe tied at half and then up and roll them in the second half. I just don't know what Florida State team we're going to get. You know, they're going to get their backup back, so that might be a big aspect. Georgia's always Georgia, but Georgia doesn't look like the previous Georgia teams. We're dominant on the D-line and a really good quarterback that drove me crazy in the Peach Bowl last year. You know, Carson Beck is good, but I don't think he's elite yet. So we'll see. It's going to be a really good game. It's going to be a lot of Florida State fans pissed off. There's definitely going to be some drinking going on, I can guarantee you, on that bowl game. So I'm going to pick Georgia. Obviously, I think I would imagine everybody's going to pick Georgia here. But Florida State, I don't know. We'll see.
Can we acknowledge the pick that Pat McAfee gave before the SEC championship game? I think that's the swerve of all time. I don't think that there could be a bigger one. And it was hilarious because Nick Saban sitting talking to him on a show. He's like, dude, you could get killed for that. You could have been murdered if you got caught outside that ESPN College Game Day tent setup that they had. That was – you did their whole chant and then just to go Bama at the end of it. Georgia seems like they're pissed off. I think because they're mad, and I think because Kirby Smart wants to – he doesn't want to lose a step on Nick Saban. He finally got those 2 championships. He finally was kind of out of that master and apprentice. I don't think he wants to take a step back, so I think the team's going to be really fired up. And Carson Beck is not Stetson Bennett, and the defense is not as good as it has been. It could be really ugly. I think that's a possibility. I don't know if Georgia wins by 2 touchdowns, but I just can't imagine a world where Georgia doesn't come out on top. Nico, what do you got?
I have to win this bowl pickup somehow, and I'll be the one to do it. I'm going to pick Florida State. There's two teams in this matchup. Florida State, who has nothing. Everyone thinks you're going to go into this game, get your ass kicked. Everybody, the books, the analysts, everybody. Georgia, on the other hand, lost their Super Bowl versus Alabama and are dejected. They have nothing to play for and everything to lose. Because if Georgia wants to sit here and be like, you know what, we were the number 1 team in the country all for 27 weeks, whatever the hell it was, and we didn't lose 27-0, whatever it was, 2 straight national championships, we're the best team in the country still. If you think that Georgia is going to get up for a random ass bowl game in Florida, where Florida State will have a home game. You're high. Give me Florida State. And look, I think if I'm a betting man, I am hammering Florida State plus 14. Okay. Do I know if they're going to win? I have no clue. But I'm going to tell you right now, Florida State is going to come pissed off. Georgia.
Well, Mr. Betting Man over there, go put your bet in right now. Get your phone.
I can pull it up for you.
Bro, you are writing a lot of checks with your mouth right now. You're putting a lot of faith in Cade Brockmeyer. I don't even know if that's how you pronounce his name.
One team cares about this game more than the other.
This is going to be so great. Georgia? Everybody clip this one.
Georgia Jimmy, the point you just made with Georgia. Georgia cares about this game for one reason, and that's because Kirby Smart needs to keep the legacy of not being Nick Saban's protege. Florida State has a point to prove that we're one of the best four teams in the country. Georgia already believes that. They could care less what this game happens. So I'm going to give Florida State nothing to lose. They have all the gain here, and Georgia has, like I said, Georgia's a team that they should win this game by 30 points easily. They should win this game by 30 points.
I want to ask one question. I know Jimmy's going to make his pick. I want to ask one question, Nico. What happens if Florida State gets blown out by 28?
We told you so. Then I lose my bet, and I'm wrong. That just happens. All right?
It wasn't that one time. I feel like Kirby Smart needs to get his Herb Brooks costume. That's the speech that he needs to get.
What happens if the Georgia players are eating chicken wings on the sidelines like they did in the national championship game against TCU last year?
They may cook this team. And to be honest with themselves, they're probably a much more talented football team. But if I'm going to win this pick'em somehow, I'm gonna die on the slate that Florida State should have made the Final Four and actually would have happily made it a game against Michigan. But I think they beat Michigan, no. But I think they would have made a game, sure I do. Because I think that college football and football in general is more than a one-person, one-position sport. It is 11 guys versus 11 guys. And I think, like I said, like Jeremy just pointed out, Florida State's defense is a top defense in the country. There's zero doubt about that. But so is Georgia's. And Georgia's defense is just as good, and Florida State's offense is obviously not as good. But you go to this bowl game, probably not Brock Bowers playing, right? Probably not a couple guys are going to the league. Georgia may be a couple guys already looking toward that. Who knows? A couple offensive linemen for Georgia already possibly looking to the NFL. Don't want to hurt their chances. We've seen things happen in the past, crazy things where guys that aren't playing meaningful bowl games that have top first-round pick aspirations don't play, especially guys at Georgia where there's a handful of guys that believe that they could be first-round picks. And I think, like I said, Florida State's got nothing to lose, and they have everything to gain. So give me Florida State.
Dom, bring back some sanity to this show.
There's a few things that I want to point out here. Number one is the obvious. Georgia is Georgia. And they have played this entire season being obviously playing their game. They average almost 40 points a game. Their opponents average less than 20.
Sisters of the Poor, that's pretty easy.
Right. Well, for Georgia, yeah. But if you look at their time of possession per game, they hold it for 33 minutes. The one thing that I want to point out is that Florida State, if you look at their team stats, they have very similar team stats. They average 36 points a game. Their opponents average 20. If you look at their time of possession in each game, they average 31 minutes. Their opponents average 28 minutes. This is a game where it's going to come down to who wants it more. And at the end of the day, Georgia, coming off of a loss to their big rival Alabama, they're going to be pissed off. Don't get me wrong. But Florida State, the fact that they didn't make the Final Four, they are an undefeated champion, and the fact that they got disrespected like that, I think I'm going to take Florida State in this one. I'm going to take the underdog.
You cannot sit here and tell me that Georgia wants this game more than Florida State, because they don't.
Absolutely not.
I think Kirby Smart is enough of a dictator that he's gonna put scholarships on the line if you don't score at least two touchdowns.
They won 28 freaking games before they lost to Alabama. Like, who are we kidding here? Like, this is
– Why the Sisters before, Jimmy? Jeremy,
I don't know what to tell you. That's great. Question. That's all well and good. They won 28 games without losing to Alabama. That's great. Here's the thing. That 28-game win streak was what they were holding on to, and it got snapped.
So it depends on how they're going to come into this game. Are they going to come in pissed off and want that win? Or are they going to be feeling bad for themselves? Kirby Smart can do whatever they want, or can do whatever he wants over the next couple of weeks to try to get his team ready. But at the end of the day, he's not out there on the field with them. So I'm going to go with the underdog. I'm going to go with the one who wants it more, the one who's playing with house money, Florida State.
Just because it popped into my brain, I'm thinking that Alabama was in this Georgia position a couple years ago. They played Michigan in a non-title contention bowl game when they were left out of the playoff, and I'm pretty sure Michigan beat them in that game, if I'm remembering correctly.
Believe me, there's nobody in the country that wants to play Georgia. Nobody in the country wants to play Georgia right now. Nobody. I don't want to.
He's so scared. He's the Indiana guy. He doesn't want to play Georgia.
Oh, okay. It took an hour, but it's finally here. Semifinal, first one up, the Rose Bowl. Number four, Alabama. Highly contentious number four, taking on number one, Michigan. Michigan, the Wolverines. They get Jim Harbaugh back last, again, in the Big Ten championship game. I think we should give the credit to Iowa's defense that they deserve because they are a very good defensive team. Michigan still took care of business. They didn't hit the over themselves, but they did make sure that Iowa hit their team under. Which what was it set, Nico? Half a point
was the over under a half. It was under 2.5 points. No, that's not a hockey score. It's an actual NFL or not NFL college football team trying to score over 3 points.
Yeah, Nico, I'm going to start with you. What are you seeing in this Rose Bowl game? Who do you got? I got Bama. I'm going to make that clear.
I think there's a good chance that I may be one of the only people to do here because I know one of the people on the show will never pick that team in maize and blue or maize and yellow, whatever it is. But I'm going to go Michigan. Look, Alabama, they beat a damn good Georgia team. But the game that stands out for me was the Auburn game and what Auburn tried to do to beat them. And that was run the football, keep that offense, keep Jalen Milroe off the field. And one thing that Michigan is very, very, very good at, and that's keeping the ball on the ground and trying to not make them air it out over you, right? They're going to try to make it an ugly football game and try to grind it out. They're not going to high fly up and down the field you. And that's what Georgia tried to do last week against Alabama, and Alabama was able to do it because they had the better players. I'm going to go Michigan here. I believe in Blake Corum. I believe Harbaugh getting back will give them a little bit of juice here. I think they're the better team. I think Bama's damn good football team. Nick Saban will always have his team ready to rumble and ready to beat anybody on any given week, but I'm going to have to go Michigan here.
Dom, what are you seeing? I'm picking Bama because I think Jalen Milroe has proven over the last few weeks that he can make some wild stuff happen. Where do you lean in this matchup?
Well, there's a few things. Personal bias, I suppose, would tell you Michigan. I still got Reese Atterbury, a buddy who plays out there, and I do obviously want to see him do well. It's hard to pick against Alabama. They are kind of the tried and true, battle-tested college football team that we've been hearing about for the last, decade and a half, 2 decades? It seems like pretty much ever since I actually knew what college football was and was able to sit there and watch it, Alabama's always been in the conversation as one of the best, if not the best, football team in the country. This year, obviously, they're surrounded by some controversy. Should they have made it into the Final Four? Should they have not? We've talked about that a little bit. I am going to go with – man, this one's hard. I'm going to go with Michigan. I feel like the last time that Michigan and Alabama played, Michigan came out and was ready for them. Obviously, that was a little bit different of a situation. Both teams had missed the Final Four, were out of the playoff. But I think Michigan takes it on this one. And I'm going to give the nod to the offensive line of Michigan.
I think it's interesting because we talked about the Michigan reaction in the ballroom. We didn't mention the reaction of Alabama. Alabama looked like the guy that you don't want to pick a fight with in a bar. They just – okay, Nick Saban casually set down his coffee, and then the entire auditorium is just applauding silently, like staring daggers through the screen, like they're somehow going to reach through, grab Jim Harbaugh by his khakis, and totally just do whatever they want with him. Jeremy, you're the last one to make a pick on this game. I know where you're going, so you're going to be on my side because I know you can't pick the other
team. I do want to point out these are two teams that Jeremy hates more than anything. Like there are two programs in this country that Jeremy wants to downfall more than anything. That's Michigan, that's Alabama. If both of these teams could end in a tie and Washington and Texas be the national championship, Jeremy would be very, very happy.
That's all right, true. All right. I know Jimmy mentioned that the team you don't want to see is Alabama. Nico, Georgia, you don't want to see them too. Just saying. Just throwing that out there. You don't want to see Georgia either. I'm never gonna pick Michigan. So here's the very simplistic answer I can give. You're giving Nick Saban a month to prepare for a game, not a week. A month. And it pains me to say this, but he's the greatest college football coach ever. Giving him a month. Jim Harbaugh, to be honest, I think Michigan got pretty lucky in that OSU game. I'm still a little salty about that on that side, but they did beat us. I will admit they did beat us. You give Nick Saban a month to prepare for a football game in which J.J. McCarthy can't throw the ball, to be honest, unless it's the tight ends. And you got Alabama's defensive front, who's always going to be there. You give Milroe some time to throw the ball deep and use his legs, which I think is going to be the key in the game. I don't see this being close. I think Alabama is a very, very bad matchup for Michigan. Like OSU's a bad matchup. When OSU plays Michigan, it's just a bad matchup. As you saw last year when OSU took Georgia to the final brink, but they got blown out by Michigan last year. I think it's just a bad matchup for Michigan, personally. So, Roll Tide.
All right. We got half of our championship picks set.
First time I've ever heard Jeremy say Roll Tide in my life. And I'd probably be the last.
Tide.
Yep.
Roll.
Yep.
Jeremy and I have Bama in half of our national championship. Nico and Dom have Michigan. That brings us to semifinal number two, taking place in the Sugar Bowl. Texas gets lucky with a venue because you know they're going to travel well, and Matthew McConaughey is going to bring everybody into the sidelines for this Texas game. I think that they do deserve to be here because beating Alabama and Tuscaloosa is a hell of a victory, and it's difficult to win on the road and all of that kind of stuff. I think Washington is the team that everybody's been overlooking. And I said it earlier on in the show. They haven't lost a game. They've played in a lot of close games, but the fact that they're winning these close games, they have experience. No experience in playoff contention, but like Michael Penix has been there the same amount of time as Bo Nix and Cam Rising and all of these other 10-year guys that we're now starting to see in college football. He's going to be able to play up to his level. I'm taking the Huskies to get the upset over Texas. I'm taking number two Washington. And my national championship mashup is then Bama versus Washington. Nico, what do you got in the Sugar Bowl? Where are you seeing this?
Well, I'm a little sad that this game isn't the Rose Bowl because in my opinion, that this game could be the end all be all of a Pac-12 type football game because these are two teams that it's going to be Quinn Ewers and Michael Penix Jr. just airing the ball out and saying who can throw it farther, who can dice up the more. It's going to be a high scoring affair. Over under 63.5 is absolutely crazy, but that's just what you're going to get out of these two football teams. It's going to be a Pac-12 like football game. It's not going to, and like I said, it could be the last one we may ever see of this type of stature because obviously with all the conference realignment and everything, I'm going to go Washington. I love this Washington football team. I really do. And like I said, last year conference of champions, I'm all aboard the Pac-12 train. I've picked every single Pac-12 team that we've had to pick them so far in this pick 'em. I'm gonna keep going. I'm taking Washington here. I believe in Penix. Quinn Ewers, I think, is a year too early. I think that Texas should be a favorite next year, going into the college football playoff with 12 teams. I think they'll be a big time favorite. I think that they're 1 year too early, and I think that Washington is going to be the team here, and I think that they'll be able to out-duel and be better schemed up and ready to beat Texas than Texas will be. I don't think Texas is all the way back. I think Washington, it's their time.
All right, Dom, where are you leaning on this one? Texas, are they back, or is it Washington's time since first time since 1991? So the first time in any of our lifetimes that Washington's been this close to a national championship. Huskies or the Longhorns?
You know, this one's tough. I do like both of these teams, and I definitely think that both of them have earned their way into the college football playoff. I understand the argument that Nico was just making of Texas being a year too early. Maybe they need a little bit of extra time in the playoff to kind of get some momentum and then, head into these bigger games. I see that. I also see the fact that Texas is a very disciplined football team. They are not only dominant offensively, but they play a very sound defensive scheme. Washington, we know that they're explosive on offense, but they are extremely undisciplined. Average penalty yards per game is 74, and their opponents are averaging 60. So that tells me that they are in a big game like this, every single yard counts, and they are going to be apt to potentially give up some big yards, even if it's just a 5-10 whatever yard penalty, and that's going to put Texas in a very good position to kind of stuff them down or stomp them out. I don't think it's going to be a big win for Texas, but I am definitely taking Texas on this one.
All right, so Dom has Michigan versus Texas. Nico has Michigan versus Washington. I have Bama versus Washington. Jeremy, where do you go on this, your last pick of the semifinals, and then we'll get everybody's predictions as to who's going to win their championship matchup. But Texas, Washington, where do you lean?
This is an interesting game. I agree with Nico. It should have been in the Rose Bowl. But because Michigan is the number one seed, which I don't think they should have been the number one team in the country, but because they have the win over OSU, they are the number one team in the country. Therefore, they have the pick on which bowl they want to go to. Now, if you're a Michigan fan, it's pretty smart not to play Alabama in their backyard as in New Orleans. So I get that point. There's one stat that just keeps hitting me in the face that I just can't get over, and that is the passing yards allowed. I know this from listening to a bunch of podcasts and obviously doing my research on this. Texas fans are nervous about this whole Washington passing game. Texas ranks 95th in the country in passing defense. Washington put up good numbers against Oregon, and Oregon's got a fantastic defense. Mm-hmm. As you may see where I'm kind of going with this, I think Washington does enough on defense to hold them in check. I don't think they're a more physical team up front, but I think their DBs can hold Texas. I mean, I don't know how much, you know, Washington's going to be able to handle Xavier Worthy, who's, I think, one of the best receivers in the country. But I got to go Washington. I think this is the year for Washington. I don't know why it seems like that. It seems like, you know, perfect example is, oh, well, Washington beat Oregon, but it wasn't that impressive of a win. Oregon's still a better team. Well, they're going to beat them in Vegas. Then, you know, oh, Washington, it wasn't that good. They're going to get lose to Oregon State. They barely beat Arizona State. They didn't score an offensive touchdown the whole game. You know, it almost seems like a team like Washington is like the almost perfect recipe for a national champion as it comes to. They had a midseason of just brutal, brutal play. And then they triumphed and they really took Oregon apart. So for that reason, I don't think Texas has seen a good of a quarterback as they're going to see with Michael Penix Jr. I think Washington is going to be fired up, ready to play the underdog role. And I think Washington is going to win this game.
All right. So the matchups that we have set, I have Bama, Washington. Nico has Michigan, Washington. Jeremy has Bama, Washington. And Dom has Michigan, Texas. So everybody has Washington in except Dom. Nico and him have Michigan. These games will be taking place on January 8th of 2024. So past the new year, I'll be back in the country. Dom and I will be back off of our cruise. We're getting ready to go back to school. It's actually the day before we go back to school. So lucky me. I have Washington winning. I had similar feelings as what Jeremy just laid out there. Seems like this is their year. And every team kind of gets that. It's kind of poetic, and things seem to work out that way. Last year, the Pac-12, why wouldn't the Pac-12 win a national championship in the year that they ended up absolutely dying and decaying and turning into something that will be unrecognizable moving forward? But I have Washington winning my matchup. Nico, between Michigan and Washington, who do you have coming out as the national champion?
Well, the first thing I want to say is, Jeremy, did you think that 3 years later, after Michael Penix Jr., when we watched that game in my apartment where he reached for the goal line, did you think that player would be playing for a national championship?
Dude, that is just the typical. That is just the typical Indiana football curse. I swear to God, you guys don't know, understand. We can go on another. I'll go on another podcast and give you some stats. They are the most cursed football program in the history of college football.
It's a basketball school. You and I both know that. It'll never change.
Yeah. It'll never change. Lately, I don't know about that.
It'll never change. But look, Michael Penix Jr., in my opinion, is the best player in college football. I think there's 0 doubt about that. In my opinion, he's. Like I said, what I saw from him all year and what I saw from the Pac-12 in general makes me believe in them. Makes me believe in them. And look, my heart wants to pick Washington. But because I want to not lose this pick-up for the first time and not come in last place, I'm just going to go Michigan. I hate doing it. I'm going to go Michigan. I will be betting with Washington because I'm sure this line will be a -6.5 for Michigan if it comes down to this. But like I said, I think Michigan will be – I think Michigan is the best team here, top to bottom. I think they're much more talented and much more game-ready. I think Washington is a damn good football team. And like I said, I'll be rooting for them all the way through. But I just think that Michigan is ready. I think Harbaugh's ready to win a national championship there and then go to the NFL and coach the Chicago Bears. I think that's the path he's on. So give me Michigan. I hate it, but I'm going to go Michigan here. I love Washington as a dog. But, yeah, give me Michigan.
No pun intended. Ow! Jeremy, Bama versus Washington. Are you sticking with the Huskies storyline, or are you going to go back and does the dark side win?
I'm going to go against my logic here because I think that this is a game that, in theory, the best quarterback usually wins the national championships. I mean, you look at this college football era. I mean, you go back year on year. Stetson Bennett was a beast for Georgia. You look at LSU, Joe Burrow, you look at Sean Watson, you look at Mac Jones, you know, those are guys that, you know, are on Sunday now. Tua, you know, Sunday player, Jalen Hurts, Sunday player. I mean, right, you'd think that the quarterbacks is the most important position to win a national championship, but I think Bama's roster is just ridiculous. And I think Bama, you put Nick Saban in that type of a situation, he gets the national championship game. I don't want to play Nick Saban. I just don't. I just think that Alabama is they're the creme de la creme of college football. They've been it for God knows since 2009-8 range. You know, they have the roster to compete with anybody in the country. It's the reason why I think they're going to beat Michigan in the first place. I'm picking Bama. As much as I want, I'm rooting for Washington, man. You think I want Michigan or Alabama?
I think everybody is. I think everybody.
Yeah, I want to win those crap teams. I can't stand either of them. I hate them both.
But look, you, Alabama, Michigan, Texas, their national championship's going to be like, man, it's going to be in the States. If Washington wins, there's not a soul that will be happy for them. Because even if you're a fan of those other teams, you're going to be like, you know what? I'm happy for Washington. Good for them.
Put it this way, if Notre Dame was in the playoff, it'd almost be unwatchable for me. I would have been like, nope, not watching this. Hey, guys, you guys, you're bull pick 'em. You guys have a wonderful year, but I am not picking any of these. I hate them all. Can't stand them. But Bama's still the standard. And until someone beats Bama, they are the standard.
All right, going to throw this out here because he's been watching with us all night. That's my sports podcast. Is predicting Bama Texas 09 rematch. Didn't give us a winner out of that one, but that is a likely possibility, and that's the start of the dynasty that we're now in the middle of. All right, defending champion, whatever we want to call you, you have the crown on. See if you're able to defend it. If you get to hold on to it, where are you leaning with your matchup, Michigan versus Texas? Who ends up winning the national title?
Well, out of those two, I think the most logical choice is to go with the one who's been there most recently. Michigan over the last few years has been incredibly dominant. They've faced teams from OSU to Alabama, kind of anywhere in between. And over the last few years, we harp on it all the time because we played the position. We know how important it is to have a great offensive line. And Michigan has done their due diligence of creating this culture of having great big men who all play together, all in the same heartbeat. And because of that, I'm going to give him Michigan. Michigan is going to be the national champion between Michigan and Texas.
All right. So we have it all there. Be sure to come back to this. That's why I put the dates on the video. So if you're watching, watch it all the way through. And then as the games pop up, unfortunately, Dom and I, it hurts me. Nico, you know how much this hurts me. We're going to be on the ship. I'm not going to be able to watch like a majority of these games. It's going to kill me. I'm going to have to record all of them. And then I'm live in my basement for 2 days before I have to drive out to Wyoming for a wrestling tournament. That was a great show, boys. And I told you, we made it more efficient. We went from 3.5 hours down to 1:20. And we got a lot of information covered. We had a couple good discussions about the selection process and the Heisman Trophy. So if you missed any part of this, if you're watching, checking in and out live, the audio will be available for replay. I'm going to put that up right after this. You'll be able to go back and watch the video, check it out, subscribe to the YouTube channel, follow us on our social medias, follow us on wherever you're listening. We appreciate it. Thank you for subscribing. Be sure to follow his lead. Be sure to check out Jeremy. He's always on our show. He'll be back and forth. He goes to a lot of cool events. Nico and I like to use him to get his opinion on a lot of different things that happen.
And I hate throwing this in there. Jeremy, John Rahm leaving to live. Good or bad?
It's I can come up from the podcast about that one, but money talks, right? Money always talks. Just like how like you were talking about how the Broncos were 1-5 and it was embarrassing to be in the city of Denver and be a Broncos fan. Uh-huh. Now where you at, buddy? Now where you at? Uh-huh.
He's all the way back.
I'm all the way back.
Dom's all the way back too, because his Jets got a big win the other day and he thinks that it's going to continue. He'll be on the show. He's been on the show for a while. He lives next door to me, so I can always pull him on if we need an extra opinion. Thank you for coming back, wearing the crown and defending your title. I hope that I'm sorry, but I'm hoping that you lose this one because we can't have a dynasty start this thing off. Then we're the NHL. We're no better than the Canadians if Dom wins this thing 4 times in a row. Back to back to back to back champions. That cannot happen. Really appreciate everybody tuning in. Be sure to check us out, and we'll have our episode re-release of the Nuggets Championship Celebration coming out Thursday.
Enjoy that one, Jeremy. Enjoy every second of that one, Jer.
I'm just saying. Thanks. All right. For myself, Jimmy Pilato, my co-host, Nico Bryant, our special guest, Jeremy Fear, and Dominic Pilato, the reigning defending Pick'em champion. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Far End of the Bench podcast. See you on Thursday.
Peace.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.